So Galiso Gwake, I'll call this meeting to order. It's 8:32. We'll do a quick roll call. Start with David.
Good morning. David Jordan here.
Councilman Kirby Metoxin here.
Secretary Lisa Summers present.
DeHassa Hill present.
Councilman Daniel Guzman here.
All right. We have five, so that's quorum. I'll go ahead and do the opening this morning. Daunag and Jokwa, Surunsiose, Chinate undu, Ganehila Dunksla. Aguegos, Kaji, Dwahwe, Nuni, and Guanigula Daitinoe Ladu, Nain, Yunkinuha, Ohunjage, G Sego, Inadli Wandia, Hari Dats, and Duhak in Guanigol. Aguegos, Kaji, Dwahwe, Nuni, and Guanigula Daitinoe Ladu, Nain, O Negano Sogu, G Sego, Inadli Wandia, Hari Dats, and Duhak in Guanigol. Aguegos, Kaji, Dwahwe, Nuni, and Guanigula Daitinoe Ladu, Nain, Onegli suha, G sego in adiwan diero hari dato yon duha king guat nigo. Aguegos kaji a duahwe nuni and guat nigo la daitino eladu nain gahion dis awa heat. G sego, then adiwan diero hari dato yon duha king guat nigo. Aguegos kaji a duahwe nuni and guat nigo la daitino eladu nain asanate gundahun daily. G sego, yon adiwan diero hari dato yon duha king guat nigo. Aguegos kaji a duahwe nuni and guanigola daitino eladu, nain oyunqua u, g sego in aliwan diero hari dato yon duha king guanigo. Aguegos kaji a duahwe nuni and guanigola daitino eladu, nain onunqua togu, g sego in aliwan diero hari dato yon duha king guanigo. Aguegos kaji a duahwe nuni and guanigola daitino eladu, nain galunda suha, g sego in aliwan diero hari dato yon duha king guanigo. Aguegos kaji a duahwe nuni and guanigola daitino eladu, nain gundilio suha, g sego in adiwan diero hari dato yon duha king guanigo. Aguegos kaji a duahwe nuni and guanigola daitino eladu, nain gunjokwa, g sego in adiwan diero hari dato yon duha king guanigo. Aguegos kaji a duahwe nuni and guanigola daitino eladu, nain ojita suha, g sego in adiwan diero hari dato yon duha king guanigo. Aguegos kaji a duahwe nuni and guanigula daitino eladu, nain owe la suha, g sego in adiwan diero hari dato yon duha king guanigo. Aguegos kaji a duahwe nuni and guanigula daitino eladu, nain ladisa gayon deese, g sego in adiwan diero hari dato yon duha king guanigo. Aguegos kaji a duahwe nuni and guanigula daitino eladu, nain Nain yunki sota hue nidale, g sego yunki nigula dadi dato yon duha king guanigo. Aguegos kaji a duahwe nuni and guanigula daitino eladu, nain yodahlo sunko jiha, g sego, lonadli wan diero hari dato yon duha king guanigo. Aguegos kaji a duahwe nuni and guanigula daitino eladu, nain yoji stokwalu, g sego inadli wan diero hari dato yon duha king guanigo. Aguegos kaji a duahwe nuni and guanigula daitino eladu, nain gaye ni unguedage, g sego in adiwan diero hari dato yon duha king guanigo. Aguegos kaji a duahwe nuni and guanigula daitino eladu, nain scanadalio, g sego in adiwan diero hari dato yon duha king guanigo. Aguegos kaji a duahwe nuni and guanigula daitino eladu, nain sunquai disu, g sego in adiwan diero hari dato yon duha king guanigo. Donnie. Good morning, everyone. We have a couple of special recognitions this morning before we get to our regular agenda. This morning, we have special recognitions for years of service. And then after that, we have Galeja Lusla, 8th grade futures recognition. So we'll go ahead and turn this over to Geraldine to do the years of service.
Good morning. So in 1994, the employees that we're going to recognize today started their employment and their years of service here. So everyone that we recognize today will have 25 years of service. So what are some of the things that occurred in 1994 when these employees start working? Debbie Dockstader, also known as Debbie Thundercloud, was our chairwoman. We, in 1994, we had 3,392 employees while we were still climbing to reach our highest number of 3,719. Some of the things that occurred also is the Little Bear Development Center opened in 1994. Yahoo was founded. The Oneida Nation Elementary School had its first day of school at the Turtle School in 1994. So those are some of the events that occurred. So with that, we will start with our employees. We'll start with Barbara Ninham with 25 years of service.
Good morning. Barb Ninham, she's started off with the Human Resources Department 25 years ago as a receptionist. And she had worked there for about 4 years, and some of the regulations and so forth that we have to follow started to be imposed on the tribe. So Barb was asked to transfer, or she was moved into the backgrounds department. Let's see. She was the thing that stood out with Barb is her hard work and her dedication, and that's why she was chose to and transferred into the backgrounds department. And she continues to, you know, hold those values with working here 25 years, and I hope that we'll see many more from her. So.
Next, we have Arthur King with 25 years of service.
Good morning, I'm Jackie Boyle with the Division of Public Works, and Arthur, more widely known as Mike King, is here to be recognized for his 25 years of continuous commitment with the Oneida Nation. Mike began his journey here February 7, 1994, and he currently holds the position of maintenance supervisor with the Division of Public Works. He has been a devoted employee of Oneida and shares his skills and knowledge and expertise with all those that work in his area. Mike was instrumental in establishing the DPW Facilities Department in the 1990s, at a time when the nation was acquiring and constructing many of the buildings that we currently maintain today. Recently, he has worked with the Cultural Heritage Area to establish an Oneida language program for DPW employees in which he teaches and encourages learning Oneida language and culture at our workplace. His initial teachings included the opening and common greetings. A couple other things about Mike is his background with construction in Oneida goes way back, even further than the 25 years. He started as an estimator and manager with the Tribal Development Corporation and worked there from 1975 to 1982. During this time, the museum, nursing home, civic center, Archkit building, and tobacco warehouse were built. But you didn't know you'd still be trying to maintain those. Outside of work, Mike is dedicated to supporting Oneida youth in sports. His granddaughters are excellent high school softball players, and he can be found at every game, whether it's for Seymour or a traveling summer team. Thank you, Mike.
Next, we have Sherry Frigette.
Good morning. Sherry has been with us for 25 plus years for the Oneida Nation, and she currently holds the position of the Quality Assurance Safety Coordinator for the Oneida Nation for the Oneida Comprehensive Health Division. She's been an integral part of the Comprehensive Health Division from even before we were a division, when we were just the health center. She began her career with the health center and has always and still is been willing to take on any additional responsibilities whenever we call upon her to take on extra work. She's the kind of person that you really want to be part of your team. She's hardworking, dependable, and can be counted on. And whenever the conditions become challenging, she's always willing to step up. She is the person who's responsible for anyone who's had kids that have gone to Safety Town over the past 20 plus years. So Sherry has been the, we always know to avoid Sherry from the beginning of August until the end of August, because she's always dealing with Safety Town during that time, and she's always dealt with whatever comes her way. When Safety Town comes up, sometimes we've had things that have happened where somebody stole the TVs at one point, and she was in a panic because that's how we show the videos for Safety Town. So Sherry's gone out of her way to be devoted to the Oneida Nation and provide the safety knowledge. And in certain parts of the year when she has training, she's known as the safety queen. So we're very proud and devoted to be a part of the 25 years that Sherry has committed to the Oneida Nation. So with that, congratulations.
Next, we have Neil Cornelius with 25 years of service.
Some of the words from Neil's supervisor is that he has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Nation. Neil currently holds the position of auto detailer for the Division of Public Works. He's the kind of person you want on your team, hardworking, very dependable, and can be counted on when the conditions are challenging. You can expect Neil to put a smile on your face with his quick wit and fun personality. Also, if you call out to DPW and there's a male voice on the other end, it is Neil, and he he's great at helping us out in that position as well. A couple other things is that Neil previously to his current position had worked 14 years at the Anajon Nursing Home as an orderly, which puts him nearly 40 years with the Oneida Nation. He had a small break in employment, otherwise we'd be up here for 40 years. The detailer position he is in has changed over time. As Geraldine mentioned, a lot of things have changed. For those of you that have been here for a while, you may remember all fleet vehicles came out to DPW to get fueled. There were three above ground tanks, one diesel, one and two regular tanks. So rain, sleet, snow, when a vehicle pulled up, Neil was out there filling it up and recording everything manually on a wet piece of paper attached to a clipboard. But you don't miss those days.
No.
Thank you, retail. I am sure he doesn't, from a community perspective, Neil's proud to have begun singing with his dad in the Oneida Singers some 30 years ago and is very involved with this group yet today. Congratulations and thank you, Neil.
Next, we have Luther Laster with 25 years of service.
Luther has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Nation. He's also known as Buddy, which is what we all call him. Buddy currently holds the position of table games floor person for the Oneida Nation. He is a kind of person you want on your team. He is hardworking, very dependable, and has excellent customer service. You can expect Luther to put a smile on your face with his quick wit and fun personality. Thanks, Buddy.
Next, we have Lisa Aho.
Lisa
poke my eye out. It's from my favorite show, if you know what I'm talking about. Shoot your eye out. When it's Lee, Lisa's been with the nation for over 25 years, or about 25 years. She's had a commitment to the nation, and it started off at the boys' group home as a temporary employee, and then later moved up as a supervisor of that program. And then she was also employed as the Oneida Women and Children's Shelter as a family service worker until 1997. Lisa finally became a team member at the Oneida Head Start in October of 1997 when she became a family services supervisor. In 2010, she transferred to her current position of health and disabilities coordinator. Lisa is a very dedicated and valued member of the Oneida Head Start, Early Head Start program, and has shown appreciation to all those she has worked with within the Oneida community. She earned her bachelor's degree in 1991, it's written here somewhere. I'm not following this whole thing, just so you know. And then she got her master's degree in counseling at Lakeland College in 2010. One of the things about Lisa is she is very dedicated and oftentimes has step up whenever we need any kind of research done. And I know I've called upon Lisa a number of times. And so her spirit and her commitment to the children and the staff that are at Head Start and early Head Start are to be commended. I think probably one of the most influential things that I know of is her greeting children, especially my grandson, you know. And all the children are always happy to see Lisa. And as you know, little children, they're not afraid to hug anybody because that's what they're learning in Head Start is to be social children. So thank you, Lisa, for your commitment.
Thank you.
I got to lift it way back up like I'm that much taller than her. Next, we have Curtis Jordan with 25 years of service.
Morning. Officer Curtis Jordan has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Nation. Throughout the years, Curtis has proven to be a true asset to the Oneida Nation and Security Department through hard work, dedication, accountability, and most of all, work ethic. Curtis takes pride in his responsibilities, which reflects his daily duties as a security officer and is respected within the Security Department. On behalf of the Oneida Nation and the Oneida Business Committee, thank you for Curtis Jordan for his undeserving dedication to organization and community. Thank you.
Next, we have Torlin Cornelius Atkins.
So I'm Kate Sayers, the fairly new supervisor for Tor, but have known him for nearly all of the 25 years that he's worked here. We both started at Norbert Hill together in the North Wing Behavioral Health, and Tor's really been through and with quite a journey with Behavioral Health and the team. So Tor has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Nation. He's contributed in countless ways to the individuals and families he has worked with over the years of service. From the first day of his employment, Tor has chosen to focus much of his work on helping Oneida men and youth heal from difficult issues facing them. Tor has daily put his heart and soul into the work he does with members of the Oneida community. He's currently involved in both developing and facilitating the new DBT program at Oneida Behavioral Health He's also a member of the Zero Suicide Committee and is a certified QPR trainer. TOR trains employees from other departments on the QPR process for helping people who have suicidal thoughts. TOR is an outstanding leader for the mental health team, and he's respected by his clients and colleagues alike. He's a wide-ranging set of skills and an outstanding level of experience to share with the younger and less experienced clinicians. He's the go-to person over at Behavioral Health. TOR is a valued member of the department and the community. He's also a proud member of the Chickahominy tribe, and he taught me that many years ago. And it has been a privilege to work with him. Congratulations, TOR.
And last but not least, we have Carolyn Miller with 25 years of service.
Good morning, everybody. I'll read the citation. On behalf of the Oneida Nation, it is with great pleasure to present this Years of Service commendation on the 10th of April. Really, she had about 10 years prior to that. She took a break, moved up to Kushina, so we should be celebrating 35 years. But she's got 25 years with the Veterans Department. Carolyn has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the nation. Carolyn currently holds the position of Veteran Benefits Specialist. She is the kind of person you want on your team. She is hardworking, very dependable, and can be counted on when the conditions are challenging. You can expect Carolyn to put a smile on your face with her quick wit and fun personality. And just on a personal note, she is really an asset to our Veterans Department. Our veteran community, I know, appreciates her for all the benefits that we have gotten for them. And we have a lot of heroes in our department, in our area. We have a couple heroes with us today. One of our heroes likes to say, she'll bend over backwards for you. So on behalf of the Veterans Department, thank you.
We do have another one to recognize this morning, and that's Sherry Ault with 25 years of service.
Sherry came to us from the slot tech department. She's now currently with slot operations. She is very good, hardworking. She has really good communication skills, and it has really been my pleasure working with her. Thank you, Sherry.
Okay, I'm going to also mention those who were unable to make it today. Patty Pelishek, Teresa Boniface, Julie Summers, Jeffrey Bauer, Diane Moore, Tammy Cherney, Kenneth Nowak, Debbie J. Skenador, and Bradley A. Skenador. These employees all have 25 years of service. So at this time, I'd like to thank all of you for your time, dedication, and commitment to the Oneida Nation. You were here during good times, bad times, watching us grow, and going along with the changes that we threw at you. So with that, thank you. Let's give them another round of applause.
Thank you.
Yeah, just take the time to extend the business committee's gratitude for these employees for their years of service. There was 19 employees today being honored with 25 years of service, so that's 475 years of service being honored today. So again, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to move on to our next special recognition. I'll turn it over to Councilman Daniel Guzman King for the 8th grade futures recognition.
Good morning, everyone. If we could invite all the futures up here to the front and the coaches. So first of all, I'd like to introduce the Oneida Futures. They've been playing together since third grade. We go down the line. Anthony Cornelius, one of the newer coaches. Derek King, head coach. Abby House, Marge Stevens, Margeria, or no, Margie Stevens, Asia. I said it right the first time. Asia. Talia. Makaya. Michaela. Janelle. Caitlin. Tyra. Kaya. A lot of Marissa. And Kalia. And our one of our newer coaches, David Paulus and Maria King. And where's our assistant here, Charlie's Rain King. She's been there since day one. So today we want to recognize and acknowledge all the hard work and dedication that these young girls and the coaches have put in over the years. And like I said before, they've been playing together since their third grade. And now I believe all these girls are in eighth grade and moving on into high school this next fall. So that's incredible what they've accomplished over the years. So they've played in over 20 tournaments in the past 5 years. And some of the results were in fifth grade, they were a state runner-up. In sixth grade, they were state champions. Seventh grade, they were fifth place. Eighth grade, they're state champions again. So give yourselves a round of applause. So in this 2018-19 season, they had a 25-8 season record, and they played against mostly Division One and Two teams. They have three first-place finishes this year, two second-place finishes, and one third-place finish this season. And they were the state runner-up in the Wisconsin Coaches State Tournament and finished the season by winning the Division 4-5 Championship in Wisconsin Invitational State Tournament, which had 24 teams in their bracket. So I know that it takes a lot of effort to consistently be on top of your game year after year, and you guys have done it. And you guys have put in that hard work and all the practices that you guys attended, and you know what it takes to be champions. So it's an amazing thing, and I know there's a lot of memories and a lot of life lessons that you guys can take with you moving on into high school and into college and wherever your life journey takes you. You can take those lessons with you and succeed at anything that you choose to succeed at. So we just want to acknowledge you guys, and we have a gift for the head coaches and for their many years of dedication. They've volunteered over these years, and it's that's sacrifice. So yeah, we got a gift for you that you guys can share, and some things I know you need, some sage and teas and stuff like that. So thank you once again, and there's going to be some more things coming in the future that I know we want to recognize them for. So thank you all, and you can take some pictures.
Congratulations. Glad the season's over.
I was also going to comment that when these girls first started, they were all little munchkins. Now most of them are taller than me.
Again, congratulations to the student athletes, their parents, and all those who supported them. It's a great achievement, again, to be two-time state champions. So this is a great thing, and glad we were able to honor them here this morning. And again, congratulations. Madam Secretary, is there any changes to the agenda?
Mr. Chairman, there are no additions, deletions, or changes to the agenda.
A motion to adopt the agenda would be in order.
So moved.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by David. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Our next order of business is oaths of office. We have the Oneida Nation Veterans Affairs Committee, Floyd Hill II.
All right, yes.
All right. Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, and then state your name.
I, Floyd Hill.
Hereby promise. To uphold the laws and regulations.
To uphold the laws and regulations.
Of the United Nation.
Of the United Nation.
The General Tribal Council.
The General Tribal Council.
And the United Nation Constitution.
And the United Nation Constitution.
I will perform my duties to the best of my ability.
I will perform my duties to the best of my ability. And on behalf of the Oneida people,
with honor, respect, dignity, and sincerity.
With honor, respect, dignity, and sincerity.
And will strictly maintain confidential information.
And will strictly maintain confidential information.
I will carry out the duties and responsibilities.
I will carry out the duties and responsibilities.
As a member of, and then please state your board name.
As a member of Oneida Nation Veterans Affairs Committee. And all recommendations shall be made
in the best interest of the United Nation as a whole.
in the best interest of the United Nations as a whole.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, next item, 5 under minutes. We approve the looking to approve the April 10th, 2019 regular business committee meeting minutes.
So moved. Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Kirby. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Six resolutions. A, adopt resolution entitled Community-Based Movement to Build Health Equity and Address Alzheimer's Disease in Wisconsin's Indian Community. The sponsor is Pat Lasla, Chair of the Commission on Aging.
Good morning.
Morning.
Do we want to do both resolutions together or do it separately?
Just one at a time.
One at a time, okay. All right. I'd like to thank the business committee for going over the resolutions that we're proposing today. I do have Dr. Carrie Gleason here with us today from UW-Madison. And Dr. Nick Lambro from the university as well, and Marlene Summers, who's the secretary for the OnCOA board. I would like Dr. Gleason to just to say a few words on the resolutions that we're working on to be approved today.
Good morning, Chairman Hill and committee members. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. As Pat mentioned, I am a researcher at the University of Wisconsin in Madison and part of an Alzheimer's Disease Research Center. It was a fortunate accident to have crossed paths with the OnCOA board about 4 years ago. And they asked us to basically answer some questions related to how prevalent and how important Alzheimer's disease was in Indian country. And at that point, we didn't have a lot of information. There were some papers, some manuscripts coming out in the literature to suggest that Alzheimer's disease is indeed a common disease in Native American communities. And it's a major health issue that is emerging. So the initiatives that we are addressing with the first resolution are primarily focused around education and providing information to create awareness and make sure that people know about resources that already exist at Oneida and to really serve the needs of the community. So initiatives related to that are some major education events that I believe I've met some of you at, in fact. I have a partner in this. Dr. Lambro is a fellow working with me who is involved in this initiative. And is there anything else you'd like to add?
That's good.
All right.
No, thank you.
Lisa?
Mr. Chairman, I would just like to say thank you very much for your continued partnership with our OnCOA members and the Oneida Nation community. I think the work that's being done now is going to go a long way to help us do the recognition and the education things that are needed within our community moving forward. I did want to mention specifically, for those who may not have seen it, the resolution identifies 4 specific aims for this group's work. The first one is to continue with the Oneida Alzheimer and Related Dementias Community Advisory Board, titled Oneida Alzheimer's CAB, to guide a culturally tailored outreach, education, and research. The second specific aim is to reach middle-aged adults, military veterans, and youth with dementia curriculum. The third specific aim is to work to reduce the stigma associated with Alzheimer's and related dementias by providing outreach and education. And then the last and fourth specific aim, part of this resolution, is to continue efforts to optimize to access culturally competent dementia diagnostics. So I think the fact that you're including the culturally relevant aspect to the process says a lot for the program itself and how you're choosing to move forward with our community. So I want to say thank you for that. And then with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to adopt the resolution entitled Community-Based Movement to Build Health Equity and Address Alzheimer's Disease in Wisconsin's Indian Country.
Second.
All right, there's a motion by Lisa, seconded by David. Any further discussion on the resolution? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, thank you, everyone. And same group, I assume? Mm-hmm. Next resolution under B is adopt resolution entitled Memory Keepers Medical Discovery Team. Again, Pat Lasla, ONCOA chair.
Okay. Carrie.
Okay, thank you, Pat. So part of, I neglected to mention previously, what a key partnership the ONCOA has been for this work. I would say that they have been the driving force in terms of what areas that we, new areas that we explore and opportunities. And about a year or so ago, maybe closer to two years ago, we started a relationship with a group called Memory Keepers at the University of Minnesota in Duluth. And this group's focus is to address diabetes and dementia together in Indian Country. And it's led by Dr. Neil Henderson and co-led by Dr. Jacqueline, and they came to us with an idea for a research project. And the process for getting these funded takes at minimum about a year to submit applications and then be reviewed at the level of the National Institutes of Health. So it was a proposal to explore the meaning of Alzheimer's disease and related dementias in three native in communities in three states, or two states and one in Canada. So the full project will include Native communities in Minnesota, in Canada, and we are the one Wisconsin site, the Oneida site. And the funding includes funding to hire individuals from the community to lead the process of doing qualitative interviews with caregivers, with healthcare providers, around the what is the understanding of Alzheimer's disease from a cultural perspective.
All right. Any questions or comments on the resolution? If not, a motion to adopt a resolution entitled "Memory Keepers Medical Discovery Team" would be in order.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Daniel, seconded by Kirby. Any further discussion on the resolution? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, thank you all for the good work.
Thank
Keep
you.
It up.
Thank you.
Item C under resolutions, adopt resolution titled Child Abuse and Neglect Prevention Month. Good morning.
Good morning. For taking the time to review the resolution that we requested to put on the agenda for today. We are requesting for the nation to formally adopt April as Child Abuse and Neglect Awareness Month. Our department has, this will be the second year that we have intentionally created a community event to celebrate this month. The month is celebrated nationally and locally, so we thought it would be nice for the nation to formally recognize April as that month and to promote promotion or activities that we host for that month.
Lisa?
Just before we go on to the formal part of adopting the resolution, I'm curious how the first two events went on the 5th and on the 18th.
The fifth was celebrated both last year and this year, mainly celebrated internally. However, there were other people within the community who were sharing their celebration of Wear Blue Day. Mm-hmm. I also know Chairman also was part of that. And then the events last year and this year were very well attended by the community and well received.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman?
Lisa.
I'll make a motion to adopt the resolution entitled Child Abuse and Neglect Prevention Month.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by David. Any further discussion on the resolution? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh.
Can I just take a second to recognize Yael Lili, who really put together this effort to formally adopt this resolution? She's done a lot of work for our department this past year, so I just wanted to recognize her.
All right. Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Also under resolutions, item D, adopt resolution entitled Proclaiming the Oneida Nation Reservation as a Purple Heart Reservation. Lisa?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I could have the representatives come forward that are present today. We have Mr. George Greendeer here today with the Wisconsin. He's a Wisconsin Department Commander, Military Order of Purple Heart, Oneida, Combat Wounded. Cletus Ninham, Chapter 164, Oneida, Military Order, Purple Heart, Vice Chair Commander, Oneida, Combat Wounded. Roger Matoxin, Purple Heart, Oneida, Combat Wounded. And Al Johnson, Combat Wounded, State Chaplain, Military Order of Purple Heart. Good morning, everyone. Yes, I will turn it over to you, George, before we go ahead and get started on this.
Good morning.
Morning.
I want to thank the business committee for having us here today. Back in the day when most of us Vietnam veterans joined, you weren't really a man unless you came back to Oneida a veteran. Could drink a beer and a shot at the same time. They all went together. But times have changed a lot. I know we think of people going in the service today as a compliment, getting their education, maybe flying a drone from an office in Washington, D.C. War is changing. But if we look back, we had over 500,000 soldiers killed in World War II, 1 million wounded, which means that they had over 10 million family members. I'm sure everyone that is here today at our Oneida Nation has someone that they think about. In my opinion, what I'm hoping that in the next 70 years, there won't be any wars anymore. The only remembrance will be the tribes, the cities that claim to be a Purple Heart Nation, Purple Heart City, and a monument. And people can go look back in the wars that were fought. It's sometimes hard to look back. I know when I was in school and it came to history, I wasn't that interested in it, but I was interested where I was going. So where are we going with this? We're hoping to make Oneida a Purple Heart Nation, along with building a monument to the Purple Heart people that were wounded in combat, that were killed in combat. And that doesn't mean that the monument is only dedicated to combat wounded, because the define now is that a flesh wound is a combat wound. It's beginning to be understood that PTSD is beginning to be a combat wound. So things are changing, life is changing, but we need to have the remembrance of our combat wounded veterans and let people know with the monument what happened in the next 10 decades. Thank you.
Thank you. Cletus or anybody else want to add? Okay. So just a little bit of background. I was asked to work with the veterans to bring forward a resolution that would identify the Oneida Reservation as a Purple Heart Reservation. And I just want to say that this was a very It was a really great learning experience for me, Cletus specifically, reading about your story, reading about other veterans' stories, reading about the circumstances. Of course, back when Vietnam and some of these other conflicts were happening, you know, I was, I don't want to age myself, but I was less than 10 years old. So the thought about these conflicts taking place in the world were a very abstract thought to me. But seeing it in writing and on paper and knowing your commitment to the community and everything that you've done here, it was really a great honor to be able to sponsor this item and then learn about some of those things as I was going through this process. So I first and foremost want to say thank you and to the rest of the veterans for your service again. It's always greatly appreciated. The second thing is that the resolution before us today then, it really talks about our establishing the reservation as a Purple Heart reservation and our acknowledgement of your efforts that are going to be moving forward in order to do things like the fundraising and the building of the monument and things like that. So I would like for us to go ahead and adopt this resolution. Before I do that, though, I do want to read into the record some of the names that we were able to gather up with the help of Carrie's office. And, of course, this isn't a laundry list of people, but it was the ones that we were able to identify specifically for today as we move forward, just for the record. So individuals that we were able to identify that are still with us include Roger Matoxin from Vietnam, Junior Parker, Korea, Leon House, Vietnam, Marty Antone, OEF, IOF, Cletus, Vietnam, George, Vietnam, Jerry Cornelius, Vietnam. Others that we were able to identify who have passed on, Eastman Skenador, and he has a two behind his name, so I believe that means it's a cluster. So there's two for him and World War II. Ernest Skenador, also with two, and that was Eastman's brother, World War II. Dave Cannon, also with two, World War II. Edmund Paulus, World War II. Frank R. Summers, Korea. Roy House, World War II. Bradley Williams, Gulf War. Valder John, Korea. And Joseph Matoxin, World War II. And again, this isn't, we know that's not a laundry list or complete list, but those were who we were able to identify before today for the resolution. So again, thank you for your work on this. It's greatly appreciated. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion to adopt the resolution entitled Proclaiming the Oneida Nation Reservation as a Purple Heart Reservation.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Kirby. Any further discussion on the resolution? Daniel?
Everyone mind, George, just describing what needs to take place, the series of events that need to take place in the coming year or so to establish the monument and so forth.
What would take place? What is going to take place?
Yeah.
At the monument, OMBAC has voted in to have a Purple Heart monument somewhere within the area. On May 18th, we have the state convention at the Radisson with over 50 delegates getting rooms there. And at 1:30, on the 18th, we'll take two buses from the Radisson to the monument, the wall, and we'll dedicate a groundbreaking ceremony for the monument that'll be built in spring of 2020. The monument, I'm sure most of you can't see it from here. Here's a picture of it. Eventually, it'll be in the galley to show you what it is. So far, we needed roughly about $15,000 to do the monument. We're up in money up to about $6,000, and Murphy's Concrete is going to donate $4,000 worth of concrete. We're well on our way. We needed $6,300 once the funds come in to order the 8-inch thick black slate that's going to be this monument, and it'll be on both sides. That should be a great event. John Brenninger is looking for some army shovels to paint gold for that event. It'll be a mark, like I said, that 60, 70 years from now, hopefully that'll be the Purple Heart memory and there will be no more wars. Thank you.
Any further discussion on the resolution? Seeing none, we'll vote. There's a motion by Lisa, seconded by Kirby, to adopt the resolution entitled Proclaiming the Oneida Nation Reservation as a Purple Heart Reservation. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Woo!
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you for your service.
Oh, nice. Can we get a picture with you guys with that?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to sell one. Good.
John and Chris were a great help putting this all together. Terry McCoxon helped coordinate a lot of this stuff. So he needs Chris. He needs Chris.
Chris.
To give it to you anyway.
Okay. Oh, perfect. That's great.
Our next item, E, under resolutions, adopt resolution entitled Approval of the Use of the Economic Development Diversification and Community Development Fund for Project ED19-008.
Okay.
All right, we're going to defer this item till later in the agenda. Yeah, sure.
Make a motion to defer letter E, 6E.
Second.
To the end of the agenda.
All right, motion by David, seconded by Kirby to defer item 6E to the end of the agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item F, adopt resolution titled Tribal Energy Development Capacity Grant.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning. This is a grant application coordinated by Mike Troji of Environmental. There's no tribal contribution requested this time. It's an application with the BIA Energy Office to look at the possibilities of developing a tribal utility authority. This could be anything from managing Oneida's new renewable energy developments to working at better independence and sovereignty for Oneida's procurement of electricity and natural gas resources. So it'll be reviewing the feasibility of those options.
Any discussion on the resolution? If no, Lisa?
No, I'm ready.
Oh, okay. A motion would be in order then to adopt resolution entitled Tribal Energy Development Capacity Grant.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Daniel. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda, standing committees. We've got Finance Committee approve the April 15, 2019 regular Finance Committee meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Kirby. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item under standing committees is the Legislative Operating Committee. Accept the Children's Code Implementation Quarterly Update. Clarissa?
Good morning. In your packet, you'll find the sixth Children's Code Implementation Quarterly Update. On July 26th of 2017, when the Business Committee adopted the Children's Code, the Business Committee directed that quarterly updates on the progress of the implementation of the Children's Code be brought forth. So like I just mentioned, this is the sixth quarterly update, and this provides a comprehensive summary of the progress of all the entities involved in the implementation of the Children's Code, including the Family Court, the Nation's Indian Child Welfare Department, and the 161 negotiation team. So just some highlights from each group. The Family Court has been working on collaborating with the ICW department to plan future trainings in mock trials. The goals for the Family Court include training all staff, including peacemakers, on the Children's Code and holding a guardian ad litem training this summer. The guardian ad litem training was scheduled for last fall, but that had to be canceled due to the code being, the implementation date of the code being pushed back. So they're hoping and planning when to hold those training sessions this summer. The training will accommodate approximately 40 individuals, and the court hopes to get at least 15 to 20 individuals certified as GALs before the code becomes implemented. So the challenges and barriers for the court has just been the efforts to recruit these individuals as guardian ad litems. The court hopes that all the people that signed up for the fall training, which was full, will sign up again this summer. Indian Child Welfare Department, some of their accomplishments have been including hiring of additional staff. ICW has had a 30% turnover rate in their employees lately, so there's been vacant positions. They have hired two vacant ICW positions, and there's currently only one vacant position that was being approved to be posted. ICW has done a lot of work training both internally and externally, and with the development of different standards and processes that they'll have to use. ICW has also been collaborating on a couple different things with the counties for the 161 agreements and the MOUs, with the Children's Advocacy Center to talk about forensic interviews and exams, and with CW Family Solutions to discuss supervised visitation options. ICW has also been collaborating with the Cultural Heritage Department and has held a couple work meetings with them. ICW has been working through developing some of the acquired contracts that they need, such as for a process server. ICW has a lot of goals moving forward to finish a successful implementation of this law. That includes filling all positions, continuing with the training and the development of different standards, securing all the MOUs, including the counties, an MOU with the Oneida Police Department, and updating an MOU with the Trust Enrollments Committee. ICW plans to continue working on budget preparations for the implementation of fiscal year 2020
and working on MOUs with Oneida Behavioral Health, and then continuing to acquire any needed contracts. Some challenges that ICW has been facing is the hiring additional staff. As I mentioned, there's been a 30% turnover rate and a lack of qualified applicants when the jobs are posted. Time management has also been a challenge for ICW. ICW still has to maintain all their current day-to-day responsibilities and duties, as well as prioritize the implementation of the Children's Code. And the 161 agreements and MOUs have been a challenge. This process has progressed a lot slowly than we originally anticipated. A concern that ICW has moving forward is with legal representation and the concern that the department will need more time and commitment in the future for the code to be successful. And then the last part of this update looks at the 161 agreement negotiation team. The update for both the Outagamie and the Brown County 161 agreement and memorandum of understandings was that they were completed, and these should have been placed on the business committee executive session agenda yesterday for your final review and approval. So that's an update of the progress of the Children's Code implementation.
Any questions or comments on the update? If not, a motion to approve the update would be in order. Or accept the update.
Motion to accept the Children's Code quarterly implementation update.
Second.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by Daniel. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we have travel reports. 8A, approved travel report for Councilman Ernie Stevens III to the Wisconsin Tribal Conservation Advisory Council board meeting in Crandon, April 10th and 11th, 2019.
Mr. Chairman.
Lisa.
I'll make a motion to approve the travel report for the Wisconsin Tribal Conservation Advisory Council board meeting, noting that the travel was canceled due to weather.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Daniel. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item 9, travel requests. A, approved travel request for Councilman Ernie Stevens III to the 7th Annual Rising Voices Workshop in Boulder, Colorado, May 14th through 18th, 2019.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by David, second by Daniel. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Abstain. One abstention. Lisa, motion carries. Next, under new business, 10A, post one vacancy for the Oneida Nation Veterans Affairs Committee.
So moved, noting that the term ends on 12/31 of 22.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Kirby. Discussion on the motion to post vacancy. Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item B, under new business, accept the Food Innovation Center concept as information.
So moved.
Second.
Just for clarification on the motion, I think we discussed yesterday we were going to accept it as information and forward it to the Community and Economic Development Division Director for CIP numbering and entering into the process.
Yes, and change my motion to that.
All right, concur. Second or concur? All right, motion has been made and seconded. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention. Lisa, motion carries. Item C under new business, approve two actions regarding the youth homeland tour. Lisa, sponsor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this item is a result of one of the special projects under the Oneida Business Committee budget. These were approved at the beginning of the fiscal planning process of last year, approved by the business committee and subsequently approved through the budget process with General Tribal Council. Just as a reminder for anybody who's not familiar with this initiative, it was intended originally to include youth from all of the local schools. However, due to the budget cuts that were necessary last year, the amount of the funds that were allocated to the project were reduced. So the business committee had asked me to refocus this effort to make it a pilot and work with the high school, the Oneida High School, which I was able to complete. We will be attending or executing the event in May, and all the preparations have been made. So in working with the treasurer on how to document this for the special projects and for transparency reasons, we agreed that I would place the information on the BC agenda so that it can be for public distribution and consumption. So you see the background in the memorandum to cover the budget aspect of it, and then you will see also just an update on the project itself and the original intent and how we've had to adjust from a long-term perspective. So basically working with the high school, they have a curriculum that works with students from 9th through 12th grade on Oneida civics and language and culture. And so what this will help do is wrap all of those things together that have been taught within a four-year period and help give a tangible outlet for the students to tie in all the things that they've learned over the 4 years. We will do an assessment when this is completed as requested and make sure that as we plan for the next one, that we're making any necessary adjustments as a result of the assessment, and then making sure that we're also reaching out to YES, and hopefully next year we'll be able to put back into the budget enough funds to include students from the other schools. Currently, we know Seymour and Pulaski both have programs in place where they're focusing on language and culture activities for high school students. So this should tie in nicely to some of the programming that they currently have and then continue to expand those in future years. It is also the intent for this to be budgeted in the special projects one more year. And then after that, the budgets would be dispersed, or the funds would be dispersed to the high school and to the YES program in order for them to carry on the work. As a note, the budget has been attached, and you will note that we are currently coming in at about roughly $12,000 less than anticipated, and it really was because we had to refocus the program that we had put together into just the high school when, of course, they have less students, so the cost is coming in under the anticipated budget. So for today, just to note for public purposes that the total anticipated budget now is just over $25,000, so it's $25,777.44. That includes all the rooms, the transportation, per diem, the tour fees, incidentals, mileage, and then the social that we're planning on, that we're currently working out. It covers 26 students, 6 chaperones, 1 BC member currently, which is myself, and the bus driver's rooms according to their contract. The original budget, just for the record, was $38,496. So one of the things also that I wanted to mention is that there is enough funding still in the budget if there is another business committee member who wishes to participate, and I would encourage that at this time. I think we had one or two people that may be interested, but there is still time to do that as well. And the requested actions then for today would be to accept the update as information for our record, noting that the special project funds are activated. And then the second requested action would be to note for the record that I will be attending, and then I'm an approved participant for the event for travel procedure purposes.
All right. Thank you, Lisa, for the update on the progress. Looking for a motion to accept the update as information for the record, noting the special project budget funds are activated.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by Daniel. Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The second requested action, looking for a motion. Note for the record that the Secretary Summers is approved to participate for event for travel procedure purposes.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David, second by Daniel. Discussion, Kirby?
Could we add in there that one other BC member eligible to attend?
Sure.
Second.
All right, motioner and seconder concur that to approve and one additional BC member in this approval. Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, we got operational reports scheduled for this afternoon. And we have a couple items to cover in executive session yet. So a motion to go into exec at 9:55 would be in order.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, thank you. We are now in exec. We have a few.
Okay, I'll call this meeting back to order. It is 1:36, and I will need a motion to come out of executive session at 1:36.
So moved.
Second.
By David, seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. I will do a quick roll call.
Trish King, present.
David Jordan, present.
Kirby Matoxin, present.
Piazza Hill, present.
Dana Guzman King, present.
Brandon Stevens, present. And I'll hand this over to Chairman Hill.
All right, good afternoon. We're now out of executive session. We have operational reports scheduled for this afternoon. We've got the Healthcare Service Group Fiscal Year 19 Second Quarter Report. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We're just going to cover a few of the highlights from the report. The healthcare group, the health system, positioned to respond to current and future health challenges while protecting and promoting the holistic health and well-being of our Oneida community. Services are provided to all members of the federally recognized tribes in accordance with our multi-year funding agreement with the Department of Health and Human Services, Indian Health Service. So the first graphic that you have, we did the best we could in the short time that we had with the formatting. So the first graphic that you have is to report on our outcomes for continuous quality improvement and improving access to care. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get all of the graphics in time, but this graphic that is included in the report is the graphic showing the medical clinic no-show reports, and unfortunately, the access line on the side of the graph wasn't correct, so I just wanted to report that for FY 17, it's 10.8%, which is the first bar graph that you see in terms of no-shows. In FY18, it went down to 10.6. And then FY19 to date is currently at 9.7%. For behavioral health, the same kind of changes took place. FY17 was 13.9%. FY18 went down to 12.6. And for FY19, to date is 8.3%. And then we just wanted to highlight one of the data sets that we did not get to put into the graph format focuses on our optical department, which was originally in FY18, 13%, which was the no-show rate. We are now down, after only 2 weeks of time, we are down to 8.3%. 0%. And we're attributing a lot of the changes and the decline in our no-show rates is being attributed to the implementation of our patient survey, which basically text messages our patients and contacts patients to confirm appointment schedules. And it does it at 2 days in advance and then also the day of. So we've seen a significant improvement in our no-show rates, which in turn improves our access to care, because if we get people in that are supposed to be in when they schedule the appointments, it decreases the amount of availability in terms of those patients who don't show for appointments. So we'll continue to monitor the impact of the relationship software so that by the next quarter you should see again some changes in terms of the impact on access to care. Accomplishments that the healthcare group has had during the first half of FY19 in terms of improving access and continuous quality improvement. Certainly you're all aware of the major accomplishment of achieving public health accreditation by the Public Health Accreditation Board. One of the things that we will be doing in the next month is that we have a group that will be traveling to Albuquerque, New Mexico for the National Indian Health Board, and they will be presenting on our public health accreditation journey to the National Indian Health Board, which generally is on average of about 500 attendees from various tribes all across the country. The interesting thing I want to note is that the actual Public Health Accreditation Board did apply to do a presentation at the National Indian Health Board by abstract in January. We had to submit all of our abstracts for our presentations on the information we would be presenting. National Indian Health Board didn't approve FAB's request for their abstract, but they did approve our journey. So we will be presenting at the National Conference on our journey for a public health accreditation. So, go ahead.
Just a few highlights on the second outcome that we're working on, which is to optimize technology within the health division. The pie chart percentages are just that, so please ignore the percentages. It's really we're trying to highlight the major technology projects that we worked on this past year and are continuing to get some of that implementation further firmed up. There's a typo, it's not Relanent, it's Relatient, and that's our patient engagement software that was implemented within the medical clinic and behavioral health this past year. And then Optical, as Debbie mentioned, that was just implemented in March, and within a two-week time frame, those declines were in the 35 to 40% range of reduction in no-show rates in the optical area. But that's a very short time frame, so we're going to keep tracking that on a monthly basis and see where those numbers go. We completed a risk assessment with MetaStar. That is a high-tech and HIPAA requirement that we do annually. And any remedial measures that are indicated based on that risk assessment, our team works on that on an annual basis, and then we'll have another one coming up next year. So we're on track with that initiative. E-signature is a project that we worked on, and we're now into the phase two. What that does is some of those standard HIPAA forms and consent forms that patients needed to sign was previously happening on paper. Now it happens electronically on an iPad, which is really more efficient and better workflow. What we're also trying to do is move our clinical forms. So there's a lot of clinical forms, especially in the behavioral health area, that are currently done on paper and then scanned into a paper document through OnBase. And we're trying to automate that process so it'll make it more efficient and also helps us get discrete data that we can run reports on to help us with really some more meaningful information than just a scanned document. So that's on track. We will eventually get some more of those clinical documents implemented in the medical clinic side too, but right now our focus is behavioral health. We are also, with the Relation software, doing ongoing surveys effective last month. What this does is it sends out an automated survey for patients after every patient visit. The way we've structured the software is they get a survey at the maximum twice a year. So there's a 180-day limit. So if they've had more than one appointment within 3 months, they're not going to get two surveys, but they'll get a survey at least twice a year. And those surveys, we get reports on a weekly basis, and that data is going to be really helpful for us to get feedback in real time and really improve our services. So it's been a really positive development. The enhancing our workforce is another of our initiatives that we're working on, and with the template that we had, we just wanted to report our workforce levels, which are pretty flat, 354 in our Q1 and 355 for quarter two. We do have a 362 or a 363 cap based on the BC resolution, so we're within that number. Just going back to technology, we also use the automated messaging system within the dental area as well. That's the Lighthouse 360 software that sends out automated messages. So that's really helped us in reducing our no-show rates significantly. Another technology initiative that we've worked on and have implemented is telepsychiatry. We have a psychiatrist based in Kentucky who does consultations for us, and that has really been a challenge. We've had a lot of workflow issues and technology issues that we've worked through, and as of last week, the technology is working as it's supposed to, and we're hopeful that it stays, the platform stays stable, and we can enhance those services and include additional services through telepsychiatry. So that's really a big deal for us to have that ability to use that service and really enhance our access to psychiatry services.
Questions or comments on the report? Just like to commend you on your continued work with technology. I know it's important. Obviously, it shows that improvements can be made through technology, such as improving the no-call, no-show rate, which I know has been one of the problems to access to care. Obviously, if people don't show up, like you said, then it takes away time that someone else could be seen. So I'd like to commend you again for your continued efforts on improving access to care. Brandon?
Yeah, I just want to kind of extend that not waiting for a solution or pushing the personal responsibility on our membership, which is an issue also. But when that happens, though, their care doesn't get addressed. And that's the primary reason that we do have it. And even myself, it does help. That same day, it's like, oh, shoot, I got a plan, and I got to get my kid out of school. It does. It does absolutely help because we do have our daily lives that, a schedule we go around. And so in personal experience, it does really help. And I from a user standpoint, is very helpful, and it does help me manage, my time and making sure I do have put importance on my own and children's care. So I just want to commend you for pushing that effort, making sure you are a care-first-oriented organization.
David?
I'll make a motion to accept the Healthcare Service Group FY 2019 second quarter report.
Second.
Motion by David, second by Kirby. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right,
Thank you.
Our next report is the Protection and Preservation of Natural Resources Service Group. I know we're about 10 minutes ahead of schedule, though. They're scheduled for 2 p.m.
Good
The request is to move on to the Protection and Preservation of Illinois Language and Culture Service Group, noting that the request wasn't submitted, or the report wasn't submitted on time. It's up to the committee if they wish to hear the report, verbal update. Or they have a handout as well. Okay. What's the committee's pleasure? Two for yeah. I don't see anybody shaking their heads no, so all right.
Our apologies for the late submission. I'm here on behalf of the priority of protecting and preservation of Oneida culture and language. So the daily implementation of Oneida Nation's core values and the services we provide demonstrates our priority to ensure the survival of the Oneida language and culture. Which are directly tied to our identity and our sovereignty. Do you guys have the handouts available to
no.
you? Okay.
Lisa's gonna get copies first.
Apologies. So part of what we did do with the outcomes is we did look at utilizing the Oneida language right with identifying what our outcomes are. Again, just demonstrating that priority of using it on a daily and regular basis to continue that its use and making sure it survives. So with our first outcome, would you like me to wait for the handouts or continue?
I guess we'll wait for the handouts to follow along.
Iris, is this part of your presentation or one of the staff from?
I was the one that did compile the presentation or the report, and by collecting and compiling the different areas, quarterly reports, and pulled from there as best I could to find data so it looks more like a united report.
All right, so I think we all have it on our email, so you can please carry on.
All right. So with outcome one, Dai Dwa Gunduk, which means to carry on and to keep going. I switched mine around here. My apologies. Outcome one is Dwali Wa Noon, which is watching over the ways to nurture them and to protect them, and trying to find a united way that all of our areas are making efforts toward doing so. Our graphic shows the breakdown of multimedia efforts, from archiving photos to written works like in the gully or working on editing video recordings of presentations, as well as editing them and then getting them published for viewing purposes by the general public, and then also looking at the artifacts and exhibits, the development, the completion of them, and actually being acknowledged for an award for the Guardian of Cultural Memory and Lifeways International Award for Outstanding Project from ATALM for the La Crosse exhibit. And not only was that an extreme honor for the area to receive, but it really showed and demonstrated how using different forms of multimedia is able to help in watching over that ways, nurturing them, and protecting them. It's composed of photos, audio recordings, and artifacts. And so by using the Oneida language, again, within our identified outcome, it shows a strong correlation between the core value and the nation's priorities. Specifically, it speaks to doing what's necessary to make the matter of importance to oneself. As our priority is to preserve and protect the Oneida language and culture, we do this by using the multimedia forms to our advantage to safeguard what remains in existence today. Moving forward, we have talked about that not only do we want to continue protecting and preserving what's in existence today, but also doing research to fill in those gaps that are missing in some of our Oneida history. So that is what we're looking toward doing for outcome one. As for outcome two, that is the Dai Dogunduk, which means to carry on and to keep going. And with that, we really looked at the number of presentations that are happening right now through all the areas that focus on culture and language. And in our mind, that's the idea of passing it on, keeping that knowledge going for the next generation to come so that they can take that knowledge and share it with their people they come in contact with, loved ones, at school events, anything like that, but keeping it going. So we did develop two new partnerships. There is one with NWTC as the online radio streaming, and also with the Oneida Language immersion group that's based out of Oneida Nation of the Thames. And so we did have a wonderful, successful start at the Oneida Head Start Oneida Language Immersion class. They did perform a Christmas concert all in the Oneida language, which I think is too cool. And our class for Jeetnik Wuntli Hoda Initiative has grown from just one class of about eight people to three different classes, allowing for those to continue their education that were already in the group, bring on new ones to encourage their learning, and also open it up to employees to come and learn on a training basis so that they could obtain that knowledge about the language and culture and be able to use it within their workplace since they do work for the Oneida Nation. We have also had our Rites of Passage group, Deho Dun Hedenius, grow immensely. We went from only about 13 active participants last year to about 27 this year, which is way more than we anticipated, but very cool and exciting as we gain participants and the participation from the adults as well as growing, so trying to rebuild that community feeling and, again, keeping it going forward so that not only the active participants learn these things, but they're able to take that lesson home and teach their younger siblings or family members and other community members and keep that going. By using the Oneida language with our identified outcome again, it really does show a strong correlation with our core values. We're looking to use Galawiyo, the use of good words about ourselves, our nation, and our future. And do forgive me, I'm not that vast in Oneida language myself, so the other core value is the strength and belief in the vision of us as a people. With this priority of the language and culture being protected and preserved, we're trying to make sure that it continues indefinitely. So all of our efforts are really aiming toward making sure that this is perpetuated into the future. In short, our knowledge holders are sharing the Oneida language and culture not only to our people, but all people of all backgrounds and all ages. And again, further promoting another core value of we are all of us are family. Looking forward, we do have a success in applying and receiving the First Nations Development Institute Native Language Immersion Initiative grant. This will allow for future grade levels to build on the immersion class that is within the Head Start. We have also continued to expand our employment base, allowing for three trainees to be receiving additional training underneath people are teaching Oneida language. So we do hope to continue to grow, and we're looking forward to improving year after year and getting the knowledge and language out there for everyone. Outcome three, Nitiwada Nilats, which means making us strong, and not just strong physically, but all around, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. If you can see the next graph, the age demographic breakdown of the participants that we have helped in all of these areas, you can see our primary age group is adults 18 to 54. We do have about 158 youth that are regularly seen or participate in our programs where they're learning, again, the Oneida culture and language, and about 34 elders that are regularly attending or that seek our assistance as well. We are working toward preparing 13 training modules that have been outlined, and now we need to build that curriculum within them. And we're looking at the activities, the cultural teachings, land-based healing practices, and one-on-one sessions and meditation opportunities that support that health and wellness overall. We've had over 20 different hands-on workshops that focus on making us all strong mentally, physically, and emotionally and spiritually. We have reached over 500 community members of all ages, as outlined in the graph above. Again, with using the Oneida language, we are looking for that strong correlation with the core values, and specifically, Yungle Jiste, our fire, our spirit within each one of us, as our priorities to preserve, protect the Oneida culture and language, we're able to educate and assist in making people strong all around, not in just one aspect. We're hoping that we all can get to the point of reclaiming our Oni Otaaga identity. In future, you can see ongoing recruitment and advertising for the variety of learning opportunities that are the building blocks necessary to help us get strong all around. And this helps to demonstrate the holistic approach that's to address the struggles that our world today is seeing as that increases. We are looking to develop a Jitney Gwatli Hoda compensation team to help and promote equal pay and grading policies for cultural job descriptions that require this extensive knowledge about Indigenous ways and understanding that all four aspects, being strong mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, are all interconnected. I'll go for your time. Any comments or questions?
Nope. Any questions? Daniel, and then we'll go Trish first, and Daniel.
Thank you for the presentation. I appreciate it. You can see the growth and the expansion and the collaboration. And for me, just listening, I feel love. So it really shows a generous input into what we're trying to do and not just a day-to-day, here's what we do. So the outreach is proving to be successful. So I really appreciate the work that's being done on that. I would like to know, though, how many different areas are included in this category?
In this, it is by official department would be Oneida Cultural Heritage, which does have the cultural wellness, Jitney Gwatli Hoda, and Deva Haduni Hedanius all underneath it as a department, along with the Oneida Language Department, the History Department, Indigenous Diet and Healing, and the Oneida Nation Museum. So based upon the instructions, it was looking at trying to unify the report, not individualize it or silo it with the highlights of what each area is doing, but try to collaborate it and be a little bit more unified. So that was the hope I achieved that in making it known that together working toward that.
Yeah, I see that. Okay. I really do appreciate it. It's a really good report. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
I'll just second what Trish said. You can definitely see the work you guys are doing and the involvement of the community in all those programs. And I'm a participant myself, so I really benefited, you know, utilizing the cultural wellness and participating in language classes. And so it's and I see the other people in the community really benefiting from it. They really put their time and effort into it, and so it's really nice to see that in all the learning that's taking place and healing that's taking place also. I think there's two things. This last thing that you touched on with the cultural compensation issue, I know that's something that we've been working on for the last, not quite a year, but well over, almost a year. And something that I think we need to continue pressing forward with. And I think there might need to be some more research that needs to get done, but we need to work in collaboration with Human Resources Department to establish an adequate level of compensation for those knowledge holders and those teachers of our culture and language, because the level of knowledge that they hold is at very comparable to master's, doctorate levels, degrees of a colonized Western society. So even I would myself consider that their knowledge worth more than that.
Correct.
So we need to be able to pay them an adequate wage. And the second thing, which we haven't kind of worked on since last year because of the budget process, was being able to pay our students to go travel abroad to a full immersion, I forget what they're called up north, in Canada there's a full immersion language courses they have, and Akwesasne too, they also have some full immersion courses that are teaching some of our people are currently there, but we're not
financing.
We're not financing them, and we have a higher education stipend, which we pay our students to go learn anything that other colleges and universities teach, but we're not paying our people to learn our language and culture. So that's something that we need to get back to and see if we can figure out a way to budget that. So
great, thank you.
I guess that, yeah, to echo that, is it's the, I guess, the outlay of priorities. Yeah. So if language and culture is a priority, us, those are the things that we need to push forward to say, yeah, these are people who have a major task ahead of them to continue a language and culture that's been, you know, given to us, you know, from the Creator. And so that goes along with the protection of our lands, you know, protection of our kids, that all goes hand in hand. And so the emphasis on those people needing to recruit those and retain those who are currently there are important. And so I think that's one of the main things that we've been working on, is how do we do that in a efficient and yes, feasible manner, knowing right, that everyone in every other area is going to say the same thing.
Right.
And so we have to be real strategic about that, and but also make sure that it is a priority. It's in our Jinu Kulihoda, is in our mission statement. And so what does that mean?
Right.
Is in a budgetary fashion, does that mean something? So, yeah, I'd like to thank Daniel for his words. But if you guys are okay with the report, looking mm-hmm, for a motion to accept the report, accept the preservation, protection and preservation of Oneida Culture and Language Service Group.
So moved.
Second.
Second by Chris, second by David. Discussion? Lisa?
I just had one. First and foremost, the report was done really well. I think that's what we've been trying to get to, is figuring out, making sure we're getting to outcomes and reporting on the outcomes and how everybody's working together from a collaboration perspective. I do want to just echo what Trish had mentioned, though. I yes, think in the reports, we still need that mention or that tag of who are the areas that are okay, included in it.
Okay.
Just so that, because we're still learning who's all grouped together. I think right, we had some adjustments on who's grouped where.
Right.
And okay, then I think for the community who sees the reports through the packet,
okay,
they just need to be able to identify, oh yeah, that does include history, okay, or does include this and include that. Perfect. Then my only last question, yes, after the kudos,
yes,
and I should have asked this question first and gave you yeah, kudos second, so my bad, but is there a specific reason why the report wasn't submitted on time?
It was my fault in misreading and mixing up deadlines. From a deadline that was due on the same day for my school, they postponed it till after Easter. So I had read that and applied yeah, it to this one as well. So that is on me. Yeah. So my apologies for not getting that done on time.
Thank you.
Stay Friday to get it in, so it was at least done Friday. But again, apologies. So working on getting that down for deadlines to
thank
make sure they're met.
That. Thank you.
So.
Let you slide once.
Thank you.
Maybe twice.
Well, thank you so much, everyone. I do appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, Iris.
Yeah, I'll go.
Thank you.
Great, Brian.
I'm the one that's the fault of the late reports and the ones that weren't submitted. Lisa Liggins and I figured out a process and a format. And when she sent me the email saying, this is a format and these are the deadline dates, are you okay with this? And I just said, yeah, but her actual communication was that I was going to forward it to all of the service groups. So when I sent it out, it was already like 3 days later than when Lisa Liggins and I had determined when it was supposed to be sent out. So it really it's not their fault. It's really my fault. And it's my misunderstanding.
Pass, then.
And it'll be the only time I'd be publicly admit that I'm wrong. So it's on tape. It's 2019. It's April 23rd. You can relish in it. So, yeah, just there are a few that were late, and there were some that weren't submitted. And so just Trish can fire me or whatever.
All right. Thanks, Brian. We'll move on to, we'll go back to the Protection and Preservation of Natural Resources Service Group. Yeah, Pat?
I think we got a vote.
Oh, we didn't vote? Okay. There was a motion by Trish, seconded by David, to accept the Protection and Preservation of Oneida Culture and Language Service Group. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Pat.
All right, now.
Hi, good evening, or good afternoon. They're all running together, morning, evening, afternoon. So, so we're kind of still playing with this. We didn't have it very long, and hopefully get some feedback, and the staff are kind of revamping it now. But what we try to do is look back at the outcomes. Brian gave us some pretty good ideas, and because we have, like, I'm thinking 14 TSPs that feed into this, you know, quite a bit of programs, and also Environmental Resource Board, and also the 106 program from Cultural Heritage. So we're still kind of wading through. So when we looked at it, we kind of looked at it. We know our environment, waters, air, wildlife can be better. So that's one outcome around the stewardships of natural resources. Another one is then what we have, we want to still be able to protect through laws, regulations. So we don't want to go backwards, you know, whether it's improving for wellness or health, safety, or in the safety program gets kind of folded into the public safety. So, and also certainly around maintaining natural resource laws and regulations and wildlife. So that's kind of how we kind of broke it out into two outcomes. And the third outcome is, how does this relate to the community? So direct services, outreach, and things of that. So that's how we kind of separated out our outcomes. We're still going to probably play with the outcome language a little bit more. And there might be some things where we put it under one, might shift over. But so for the most part, we got it done, and we're fairly close, I think. But there's still some more work that we need to do. So like the stewardship, the outcome one, as you look at those activities, those stewardships are kind of broken out in categories, you know, whether it's forestry and conservation, invasive species, land restoration, water, you know, there should be a wildlife component. So all these kind of get blended together, and it's these activities lead toward those outcomes. So as we're noting down these activities, we're getting closer to achieving outcomes. So that's kind of how we're setting it up. Don't know if it's right or wrong, but that's what we submitted. So just to highlight some things around stewardships and creating a balance between wildlife and community uses and water, the Oneida Lake was a big part of that. So those hit a lot of categories, and the ability for the community to eat clean fish toward a sustainable fish population in the future. So we did get secured funding from Natural Resources to move that lake into phase two, so we should be starting construction on that late spring. So the design contract is in place, and now we're moving through with the contractor's pick, but now we're just working through the funding and to be able to get them started in spring. And that'll probably go through spring, summer, and probably fall, and we'll probably have to do some wrap-up with some restoration planting in the following spring. The other big area that we spend a lot of time on is that invasive species. So the invasive species kind of fits in a number of different areas, certainly around wildlife, but also, you know, things that don't belong in our ecosystem. So we did five major sites where we mowed this winter. We are getting more limited around that because this winter we should have did more. We had planned for more. But with the big snows, we no longer get the mowers in there. The previous year, it was too wet to get the mowers in. So yesterday, you probably saw a lot of people out by the library, pretty excited about that, solving some of these things with technology. That was a drone mower that had cat tracks. And two things with that, it could cut on inclines. They were cutting on a 35% incline which would be big for around safety for like DPW. So a lot of DPW employees were out there. But for us, we were able to cut Phragmites this time of year in water with that machine. And that was incredible. That could save us a lot of time and effort and maybe even getting ahead of this Phragmites. Phragmites certainly is the stuff that stands out in the open. Everybody sees it around the health center, ditches and things of that nature. But we're also working on other invasive species like buckthorn and garlic mustard. So those are all parasites that we address throughout the winter and fall months. So the other ones, the wood cutting permit probably belongs more, and like I said, that one will probably go into compliance area where we're trying to maintain the forest health, but at the same time making sure we're following all the process and regulations of the tribe. 11 hazardous tree removals happened this last quarter. Those we're working on priority ones and priority twos for the elder hazardous trees. So that's for safety and health, for protecting the humans, but also their assets. So we're still working on quite a bit of backlog on those due to those last couple of years with those big storms moving through. But we're catching up on it. By fall, we'll probably get most of the ones and twos done, and then we'll be on the threes. Any new ones that come in and a priority, they'll get bumped ahead of the threes. But threes are the ones that are basically they're safe, they're dying, and we would like to get them out. So as we move through the report, just to highlight some more outcomes around laws and regulation monitoring, it was a huge month for complaints in a non-hunting season for our wardens. So from calls from nuisance animals, cemetery infractions, trespassing, hunter harassment. So they were pretty busy. Also dumping. That continues to seem to be on the rise. So we've been putting cameras out there strategically and been catching people. So we don't have enough cameras in stock, so we are ordering more cameras in order to put in some trouble areas too. So we utilize those to make sure we keep on there some remote areas that where dumping has been occurring. And I think some of you guys even know there was a municipality that we caught dumping, so we addressed that too. So we also responded to a few consultations around the water quality in two stormwater constructions where we offer on behalf of the federal agencies, we do it in lieu of them. So we carry those federal credentials. So this protection happens more at a local presence. So we had two of those this last quarter. And then certainly we fed into the water quality compacts with the county. The water quality standards, we also made comments on. We spend a lot of time trying to get those water quality standards into the way where they are addressing those intermediate streams. The new water quality standards goes back to where it used to be. So some of our biggest success around water quality is we've been addressing those smaller streams that feed into the largest streams. That's what you need to do in order to bring back your water quality. So our community education and outreach, we actually put our wood delivery for elders on here. So we had, you know, a big quarter for delivering that. We had 73 deliveries. It was also a big month for us for shucking corn, so to speak. Big improvement last year. We were just around 3,000 produced. This year, we're projecting to get over 10,000. This will be the highest white corn productions that Junehickel has had. Because of that, it's also the highest that we had to shuck. You know, so it's taken a little longer. We'd normally might like to be done by now, but there's still some left that we are working on. But we're also being able to bring more white corn product to the cannery. So just this quarter alone, we had 1,680 pounds. So it's definitely some records being broke this year. So we also, for Junehickel, it's not in the report, but we, as we look at the future of improving that, we're looking at it's called a chicken tractor. And what that does is it really does it, we don't have to spend so much time on the chickens. we'll be able to raise 300 chickens, laying chickens, which will bring another nice revenue stream with very little labor involved. So we just move the chicken tractor once a week. It feeds the chickens automatically, waters them, and it shuts the door all on their solar system. So we wrote a grant for one of those, and then we can just move that as it needs and then help fertilize like our community gardens and stuff. So, and just a reminder, May 4th is the tree giveaway, and they are working on that to make sure that there's not going to be nobody parked in the road. We did have that out there 2 years ago, and they didn't have any issues. What I was told is that they actually get broken out in two categories. So there's an early group that gets trees, and those are the ones that participate in Earth Day cleanup. So they get to come earlier, and then the rest of the community comes in the afternoon. And usually they're pretty sparse. So, but we're working on a system that they will stay off the no parking on the road. So that was the last they reported on me. Back to me. May 11th is the the seed and plant distribution at June Hinkwell. And then also the 25th will be our, I mean, not the 25th, May 18th will be our 25th Youth and Elder Fishing Day. So pretty exciting. That's it for our report.
Thanks, Pat. Any questions? Oh, Daniel?
Is the cleanup, is that the same day as the tree giveaway?
Yes.
Okay. And then a secondary question. With the flooding that took place, was there any significant damages or anything that affected the fields?
We don't think so. We did some inspections and stuff. So with the flooding, I know they had some issues like it pampering and stuff. It never quite reached our walking bridge. It was just fell a little short. The water just touched that lowest sign. So we, you know, once again, we feel we got pretty lucky. There was no ice shove damage or anything like that. So other than homes, now there's a lot of homes that got a lot of water in their basement and things of that nature. So it was like a perfect storm, so to speak, with a big snowfall before the rain event, the ice block. That's, you know, there was so much water in Pampern Park. It went up to the water was high as the first at the windowsill level. That's how high that brick building was. They thought they lost the building, but they were able to fix that. And it looks like it's back on the mend. So.
And that wasn't an Oneida issue. That was a whole area issue.
I went
to Home Depot, and there was a whole bunch of people getting those sub pumps.
Yep.
They're all gone.
Hundreds. And then East River's just as bad. Wolf River now is still on the flood watch. So just a lot of water, a lot of snow in a short amount of time, a lot of melting. I don't know for sure, and I forgot to bring the forms, but I think it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon for the general community, and then the morning lines with the Earth Day cleanup. So that usually starts around 9, so I think they go to, usually it's around 11 that they get to be at the event. So it's a couple hours before that the people who do cleanup gets first choice.
Any more questions? Lisa and then Trish.
Just a couple real quick ones. I know this sounds really funny, but I'm not understanding what the hazardous tree removal is. So, because I know we do tree removal, so is it something like near a power line or...
There could be a lot of different things. So we just do it for elders.
Right.
And what it is it's a, probably more or less a dead tree or a tree that had fallen in a particular area or it's about to fall that could fall on their house, their shed, or it could fall on their car. So we try to get ahead of that. So when we get those responses for them to take a look, our forester goes out and they assess the trees and give us a 1, 2, or 3, and then it'll go in a different category. It's just a program that we have to kind of help with elders to remove any hazardous trees that are in their yard. So,
because the way that I'm understanding it, the way it's here, this is above and beyond what we normally would do. So that's what I'm trying to figure out.
No, it's a special program. I mean, it's we fund it every year. This year there wasn't enough, so we had to do some rearranging of our budget to get to... to try to get to the ones this year, but most of these 11 hazardous trees were done from an outside contractor. So a lot of times those are too big for our OCC, our forestry and trails folks to handle. Okay, we don't have a big enough equipment to handle them.
That's what I was trying to figure out. Okay.
So it's a contract. We'll put that in next time. That's a contractor that we hire in because either the job is too big or their machinery is too big. Our forestry and trails folks are trained to cut around electric lines, but if it looks like it's really a sketchy job, the forestry and trails supervisor will say, no, let's farm that one out. So.
No, you did mention it in here that that there was a contract for the that they're able. I just wanted to make sure I understood what that meant.
So, okay.
Okay. And then the picture that is included in the bottom left-hand corner, what water is that?
I didn't get the pictures.
Oh, okay. It's just very, very clear. So I just didn't know if that was the picture of the work that we've done on Silver Creek or if that was Duck Creek or Oneida Creek.
There's a time of year when all our water looks really clear. I mean, we were making some big strides. Now is how long are they
clear for?
Clear after our rain event.
Yeah.
So that's what we're kind of working on. Like Duck Creek used to be chalky, milky brown for like weeks.
Yep.
Now we can count it in days.
Yep. Progress. So that's what I was.
Mm-hmm.
Trish?
I think I'm trying to understand. I understand when you were trying to put these together, the different areas that your area falls into.
Yep.
And so this one is preservation of natural resources. So I was looking at how Junhinkwa is included in this section. Is it because it's an organic farm?
Or? Yeah, they have sustainable practices. And they're not a profit generator, so we couldn't put them in economics. And the principles that we're teaching has to be caretaking of the land itself.
Okay.
So that was their name. That was the process of saying, oops, sorry, this is why Junhinkwa fits within this reporting category.
Okay. And then the other areas, Junhinkwa Farm, OSIFs, and environmental quality. Health and Industrial Services is part of the area, however, I've been directed to report in Public Safety Group. And that's because of the overlap?
Yeah, I mean...
Is it primarily...
That was some of the things we were bringing up, because even land, probably some of the things that we do in land belongs in here, but we have them all in the economic development. So we just didn't have time to break out the percentage, because now you said that you could go ahead and do that. We didn't have time for this reporting to do that. So for mostly, and that has been a push back, so to speak, not a bad push or anything like that, but from the division, they would like to just report on a division, but that's not what you guys are asking. You said, we want to report on these categories based on the Budget Control Act. So they're getting that. So we're just we're catching up a little bit to you guys. So everything what we do then through the outcomes gets reverted back to the protection, preservation of natural resources. Another one that's probably missing out here is our solid and recycling waste program.
Yeah,
probably
fits in
question. Here rather than public safety. So we'll be working on that then in the next go around. So.
Okay, that's good. That was my next question. So, but I think Iris said it pretty good in that we were trying not to individualize the department successes and really pinpoint that, but really. What are they doing together as a unit for that specific category?
Yep.
And I think that's where we're breaking down the walls. And I can, like in that program, I really see how it's beneficial. So we're hoping that really shows in all of the other areas as they start learning how to do the reports. But good job on what you presented. Appreciate it. And
thank you.
Looking forward to the recycling. I was noting down the dates and stuff.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
And there's so much stuff we're not reporting to, and I don't know how. We're trying. That's a big thing we're trying to figure out.
Just take a priority and put an outcome to it.
Yep.
That's it.
All right, if there's not any more discussion, looking for a motion to accept the Protection and Preservation of Natural Resources Service Group FY 2019 second quarter report.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Kirby, second by Lisa. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to, we're going to need to go into executive session. We have an update. So look.
Motion to go to executive session.
Can we just defer these real quick?
Before and after.
Then we're done.
Yes, that's correct. Both of them are done. Well, no.
No, because that's a hill.
Finger Lake.
Yep.
Yeah, Finger Lake. I think Enterprise is the same thing. They're a handout. They're here. Okay.
So there's some bedrock exposed back there.
I emailed it.
Okay.
We got to trace it. They're copies. So.
Are we going to defer them then? That's nice. Are we going to have time?
Okay. Do you guys want to defer these next ones? Because we got to go in executive session. So what do you guys want to do with the current? We have the Enterprises here right now. And the property maintenance building is not submitted. And they aren't.
How long is this going to take?
I'd say 10 minutes.
Okay.
10 minutes? Okay. So we can
we'll
do
recess.
Them after?
Yeah, we'll just do them after. Okay.
Yeah, she's the only one here. The rest of them are here.
All right. Okay. Motion to go into executive session.
Daniel had a motion to go to executive session at 2:31, seconded by Lisa. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions?
Don't leave. We'll come get you.
Motion carries.
Executive conference room.
Okay. Oh, there we go. See, you don't like hearing your own voice. And I was like, I can't hear my own voice, so I shouldn't have said anything. Okay. Anyway, Economic Enterprises is gaming, retail, the farm, the orchard, and land management / land acquisition. And we also had some trials with the timing and being able to get together this past week to, you know, field out this new format. So we did turn in, and I'll try to speak for gaming and retail as much as I can, but I do have some updates from land. So the first part of the report shows Economic Enterprises gross profit, showing the projection. I don't have any, like I said, I don't have any numbers or anything for this quarter, so from them. Land management revenue is increasing from 18 to 19, and we are, I have my actual numbers, so we are, I believe, on track for the year so far with our revenue. So the next section is improving HR management, and I remember both gaming and retail are working on giving back to their employees or increasing morale, and trying to show that having happy employees also means you have happy customers and your profit increases due to that fact. So I know that they were doing a lot of things this year to increase that employee morale. The system evaluation, I'm not sure what that is, so I don't want to speak to things I don't know about. I apologize. But I can talk about land. Very sorry. So land for the second quarter, in the second quarter, we purchased 21.6 acres. There were 6 closings for those 21 acres. 4 of those were the HIP program. And in the fourth quarter, which is April, we had our 50th HIP closing. So that's the 50th property that we've closed with that program, which was pretty exciting because it's a 2.5 years, I think it's been in effect. So we'll be reporting that next quarter, but I thought I'd say it now anyway. And then we also purchased a strip mall, 2685 West Mason, right next to the printing building. So that's been purchased. We've met with all of the clients that are leasing the sites, gave them our information. We're going to be going into new leases with them. I think we did 90 days to go into new leases with them, the Oneida leases. And let me see, I had more. Oh, and also we advertised 10 agricultural sites last quarter. They went to Land Commission this past Monday, and then they'll be executed this quarter. So, and those were vacated at the end of March. So we're doing a good turnaround because we want to get them out before growing season starts, obviously. So we do have people chosen. So now we're just in the process of notifying them and getting them in to sign their leases. And that is it.
Any questions, Trish?
I don't have questions.
Okay.
I guess mine is more in the area of commentary.
Sure.
When I look at economic enterprises for the nation, mm-hmm. and although they're all separate businesses, the standard business practice, I guess you will, if you will, would be to understand what is it that we're going to do economically wise? What is our goal as a nation to improve our enterprises, and not so individual?
Mm-hmm.
So when gaming and retail both have the same issue of employee issues, the same kinds of issues,
mm-hmm.
What is their overall policy to improving and recruiting good employees? You know, so it's like a branding and marketing kind of concept.
Okay.
So with all of the entities that are in here, I see how they all have separate business product.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't see is what is the nation's position on enterprise development? Our internal enterprises. I'm not talking about external. So then the other concept is with agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's three or four different understandings that might fall with that. One I know is that agriculture is land based, therefore it's land and it earns revenue off of its leases.
Right.
You know, so that therefore it's enterprise. But I need us to get out of the budget criteria and go into the philosophical strategy of what the purpose of economic enterprise is. And I think that will help them not stay so segregated, because this is me, this is what I do, and here's what I do. And if you can't talk to what your co-partners are doing, mm-hmm. then that tells me that we're not meeting the mark there. But I think it's a work in progress, and we're trying to help the operations understand what it is we're expecting.
Okay.
So I think maybe just really going even higher level than not your day-to-day operations.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What's your expectations? What's your growth? What's your market? What's your industry? How are you going to get to as a team, you know, as units working together, how are you going to get there?
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that, because I, listening to the, I think that was culture when I came in, you know, I listening to your comments to her about how it isn't, they're not separate, they're not the silos, they're all one group. You know, I believe that's where we need to get to as well. And it's going to be work, I think, to get to that, to try to see how all of our areas, you know, yeah, it's about making money, but, you know, it's got to be about more than that, too. What are we doing it for, type of thing. So, yeah, I thank you.
Kirby?
I have a question. When they purchased that mall property over by Cultural Air and Gaming Commission,
mm-hmm.
They were concerned with some of the people that were in there, where they have
Not that I'm aware of. Yeah, I believe someone is leaving it now. You know, we're going to have a vacant site, so we'll be advertising it. I think within the next few months, I believe someone is leaving. But as far as I know, the rest of them aren't canceling or aren't moving. So.
Okay, any more discussion? If not, looking for a motion to accept the Economic Enterprises Service Group FY 2019 second quarter report.
So moved.
Motion by David.
Second.
Second by Daniel. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Abstentions.
Stain.
One abstention. Lisa. Motion carries.
I have a subsequent motion.
Trish.
I'm thinking it. Can you see it thinking? You know, I'm trying to get to, well, I don't know if it needs to be a motion or if you can just take the comments back to the team in regards to elevating the departments or business units into a cohesive strategic direction in accordance with the elements in the BMCA.
Yeah,
does that need to be a motion, or can that just be? I offer it as a motion.
There's a motion to, you want to have the Economic Enterprise Service Group develop some goals?
Reformat their presentation to be cohesive.
It's still reported in silos. It's still a siloed report put together in one presentation.
Sure.
Doesn't get us to what we're trying to get to.
Sure.
With the BMAC.
We're creating a TSP for just this area, because we don't have a TSP for just this area. I mean, is that what we're supposed to be doing with the areas, or do you not need to do that, or is that too much cohesion?
That'd be too detailed. It's more of a broad policy. Like,
okay.
What are you guys doing for the Oneida economy?
Okay.
And so that's like your drive. What is your contribution to the Oneida economy?
Okay.
And maybe to the mission. How are you creating a strong economy for Oneida? And then you create initiatives on that.
Yes.
Okay. That helps.
And then just so that you are aware as well, I'm going to be looking for clarification from your team. On the report, there's some stamp confidentials in here yet, and so we will not be putting this in the final packet until we get clarification from the team. So you can take that, if you could take that back as well.
Yep, I sure can. And I saw that too on the confidential.
And it's on both
stamp.
Yep, okay. It's on both the actual report and it's on the slides that you gave us.
Okay. And slides. Okay.
So even though it's marked confidential, I'm looking at slide 18,
mm-hmm.
Importance of employee engagement. That's what we're talking about as a group. How do you do that as a group, not as an individual business unit?
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So a motion to request the Economic Enterprises Service Group to bring back
a comprehensive report on economic enterprises for the nation.
No, I think that's too in-depth.
Too detailed.
Comprehensive report, that's like pretty, that's an in-depth.
Okay, so.
Cohesive
works.
That okay?
Service group to bring back a cohesive.
You said it just 2 minutes ago. Cohesive report on how they're going to enhance
economic policy, or I can't remember what you said.
Why? Did I write it down? Contribution to, I said, I put, what is our contribution to a strong economy?
Is yes.
That's what I wrote in my notes.
Yeah, I think you guys can work with the language, I think, to get the general concept. And
okay.
I don't want to provide a motion that is too detailed.
Sure.
Or not detailed enough, but I think you get the gist of what we're trying to get to mm-hmm. consolidate the efforts. It's not actually the, so that it looks like you guys are all one group doing all of these things, all of these enterprises. And how does that create the strong economy
okay.
for the nation?
Okay. My wheels are turning too.
So try it without a motion.
Yeah, I think if you have it, I think that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Try and it without a motion. And I think the next report hopefully can reflect to say more of a, like a social indicators on what we're trying to drive in.
And if you have questions or you need further examples, Nicole, Brian's the one who's been our point person on the templates and the content
okay.
of the new reporting format. So I think he'll be able to provide some insight.
Okay. Brian D.
Okay. So we'll draw the motion, and then just with the dialogue, Nicole will bring that back to the group
mm-hmm.
on so how they can address that question.
Yep.
Okay. We passed the first motion. And we're good with that. So, all right. Good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole. So we need to figure out what we're going to do with the Education Literacy Service Group second quarter report and then the Building and Property Maintenance Service Group. Want to defer those or?
I'm not going to go up. You can get on there. You can see from here. My understanding from Brian, because like he said, he sent it out late on Tuesday last week. I did send a reminder to all the areas who hadn't submitted, reminding them. I hadn't heard anything back from the education and literacy area. My understanding from Brian is that Artley Skinador is the lead on that service group, and he's been out of the office. So he might not even know that he has there's a reporting schedule that should have been followed either way, but that's all I have for that. For the second one, Property and Maintenance Service Group, that's Jackie. They had, as with her other report, they had computer issues all last week, and she wasn't able to get it done. She's asking for both this open and closed, this open session report to be moved to next week to be addressed with the other service group that encompasses the majority of the services provided in her division.
So what do you want to do?
Defer both of them?
Defer both of them? Okay. All right. So we'll go for the first one, the Education Literacy Service Group second quarter report. Looking for a motion to defer to the next business committee meeting. All right. Motion by Kirby.
Second. Seconded
by Trish.
I'll ask Brian to follow up and find out if there's an alternate other than Artley, because the school's going to be closing too pretty soon. So if that.
There shouldn't be one designated point of contact, and if that person isn't there, then someone should be up deck. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. A motion has been made and seconded. Any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, moving down to Building and Property Maintenance Service Group. There has been a request to defer to the next meeting as well. For a motion to that effect.
So moved.
Motion by Kirby.
Second.
Second by Daniel. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. I think that's it for the open session items. We'll go into executive session motions. still some items. Just two? The unfinished business? Okay.
They're an exec, did you say? I'm sorry.
Yes.
So.
Okay. So did you guys discuss these this morning? No. So we got to go back in.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Two options. Go back in executive session or defer. We got time, so we can go back in if you guys are okay with that. You guys okay with that?
Get her done.
For a motion to go back into executive session at 3:11.
Don't move.
Motion by Trish.
Second.
For a second. Second by Kirby. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Abstentions. Motion carries. All right. We're in executive session.
All right. It's 3:29 p.m. Looking for a motion to come out of executive session.
So moved.
Motion by David. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Brandon. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Abstentions. Motion carries. Wait.
Starting at resolutions. B.E. We deferred that one until after exit.
Okay. Under resolutions, we got resolution entitled Approval of the Economic Development Division Diversification and Community Development Fund, ED-19008.
So moved.
Lisa made a motion to adopt resolution. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by David. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries with one abstention. Daniel? Does that bring us to exec? Was that the only one we had deferred?
Yep.
Okay. Just going to pull up the... All right, so our executive session reports, the suggested motion. Well, there's a lot of discussion there. Approve the Comprehensive Health Division Fiscal Year 2019 Second Quarter Executive Report.
Second.
Motion by Trish, seconded by Brandon. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. A subsequent motion to direct the BC officers to follow up with the Comprehensive Health Division and Human Resources on identified concerns.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item 2, Community Economic Development. Suggested motion, accept the Community and Economic Development Division Fiscal Year 19 Second Quarter Report.
So moved.
Motion by David. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The third item was the Public Works Executive Report. Suggest a motion to accept the Division of Public Works Fiscal Year 19 Second Quarter Executive Report.
So moved.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by Trish. No discussion on executive session items. She gave it this afternoon or this morning, late this morning. Or okay.
Do you need a second?
I thought she did.
I'll second it because she's abstaining.
Okay. Kirby's making the motion and David's seconding the accept the Division of Public Works fiscal year 19 second quarter report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? One abstention, Trish. Motion carries. The fourth item, governmental services. Suggested motion, accept the governmental service division fiscal year 19 second quarter executive report. Motion by Trish, seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The fifth item was the internal services division. The suggested action to accept the internal services division fiscal year 19 second quarter executive report.
So moved.
Motion by Kirby. Is there a second?
Second.
Brandon seconds. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, Lisa. Motion carries. The sixth item, Chief Counsel report. We have a whole bunch of actions here. First suggested action is to accept the Chief Counsel report dated April 22nd, 2019.
Second.
Motion by Trish, seconded by Daniel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next suggested action is to approve the cover letter and report regarding the March 25th, 2019 GTC meeting directive.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David, second.
I'm trying to see.
Motion by David, second by Daniel.
Kirby.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. I can switch to this mic, I guess.
Sorry, I thought you were on that one.
The next suggested action, approve the agreement between the Oneida Nation and the Brown County Health and Human Services Department regarding the 1983 Wisconsin Act 161 and associated memorandum of understanding between Brown County and the Department of Health and Human Services and the Oneida Nation Indian Child Welfare Department.
So moved.
Motion by Brandon, seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next suggested action is to approve the agreement between the Oneida Nation and Outagamie County Department of Health and Human Services regarding the 1983 Wisconsin Act 161 and associated memorandum of understanding between the Outagamie County Department of Health and Human Services and Oneida Nation Indian Child Welfare Department.
Mr. Chairman, I'll accept that motion, noting that we can also move this item into open session.
All right, Lisa.
Both items. Can we do both items? The first one and the second one?
I can ask.
Or do you wanna...
I think we have to go back to the other
procedurally,
one.
Procedurally, yeah, we probably have to go back to move it to open session.
Subsequent
motion. Will you withdraw yours and make the subsequent motion before we go to the next one, the Outagamie one? Or you want to make two subsequent motions after this one?
I'm accepting that motion, noting it can get moved into an open session.
Okay. Yeah, we'll make a subsequent motion after that one for the
Brown County.
Mm-hmm. All right. Lisa made the motion. Who is the seconder?
I am.
David seconds. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. We are backing up one item to the Brown County Health and Human Services. We're looking for a motion to move that to open session.
So moved.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Daniel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. That concludes Chief Counsel's report. Item 7, CFO. Suggested action is to accept the Chief Financial Officer's April 19th report.
So moved.
Motion by David, seconded by Trish. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, Lisa. Motion carries. The next item, number 8, intergovernmental affairs. Suggested motion to accept the intergovernmental affairs and communications and self-governance April 2019 report.
So moved.
Motion by Lisa, second by Daniel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention, Trish. Motion carries. The next suggested action is to approve the comments regarding the U.S. EPA Protection Agency's definition of waters docket ID number EPA HQOW 2018-0149, dated April 15th, 2019.
So moved.
Motion by Lisa. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion. One abstention. Trish. Motion carries. The next suggested action is to approve the Hodawi Law PLLC attorney contract file number 2019-0405.
So moved.
Motion by Lisa. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention. Daniel. Motion carries. Jeez, I went through all those other numbers. What a problem. And then I get to the little short one and can't even read them. Next suggested action, approve the travel request for Secretary Summers and Councilwoman Jennifer Webster to attend various state tribal consultations in Bayfield, Wisconsin, May 6th through the 8th, 2019.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Moving on to standing items, the Thornberry Creek LPGA. Suggested action is to accept the Thornberry Creek LPGA Classic April 2019 report.
So moved.
Motion by Lisa. Is there a second? First call for a second.
Second.
Second by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Unfinished business, file number ED18-008. Suggested action is to accept the closeout report regarding file number ED18-008.
So moved.
Motion by Brandon.
Second.
Seconded by Lisa. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item, consider two requests regarding the Environmental Resource Board request made pursuant to 105.7-4. Suggested action, rescind the January 23rd, 2019 motion, which required the chairman to provide a recommendation regarding the request from the Environmental Resource Board.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next action under this same item is to recommended to terminate the appointment of Megan White from the Environmental Resource Board pursuant to 105.7-4.
So moved.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by Lisa. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The third action for this item, to approve the secretary to post the vacancy in accordance with 105.6-4E.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Under new business, retail reorganization proposal from retail. Suggested action is to approve the revised organizational chart for Oneida Retail Enterprise, noting an implementation plan will be brought back when ready.
So moved.
Motion by David, seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Those abstain?
Abstain.
One abstention, Lisa. Motion carries. The next action under the same item is to direct the BC officers to follow up with human resources on the identified concerns regarding hiring.
So moved.
Motion by David.
Second.
Seconded by Lisa. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item number two, the Food Innovation Center. Suggested action is to accept the discussion regarding the Food Innovation Center concept as information.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, Lisa. Motion carries. Item number three, discuss divisional succession planning. Suggested action is to accept the discussion regarding the divisional succession planning as information.
So moved.
Motion by Kirby. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Lisa. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item number four, discuss economic development strategy plan. The suggested action is to accept the discussion regarding the economic development strategic plan as information.
So moved.
Motion by Lisa. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Subsequent action to direct the Oneida Business Committee liaisons for the Oneida ESC Group LLC to coordinate future meetings with the Community and Economic Development Division Director.
So moved.
Motion by Lisa. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Motion to adjourn at 3:45 would be in order.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you, everyone.